The views and opinions expressed on the following program are not necessarily those of the staff and management of KLAY or those who advertise their products or services on this station.
Good afternoon, listeners, and welcome to Boat Talk here on 1180 AM Clay Radio. Thanks to all my loyal listeners for joining me again this fine Saturday afternoon, and welcome to anybody who's new to the show. Anybody who's returning to the show after maybe a little bit of skepticism after the first round, welcome back. We'll try to do a better job for you here going into the future. I'm sure that I've got something to either entertain you with or educate you on. So stay tuned. Want to remind everybody that the best way to get a hold of me is via my email, which is trig, spelled T-R-I-G, at seattleyachtmanagement.com. And I always want people to be logging on to our website, www.seattleyachtmanagement.com, and checking out any of the blog posts that I've got up there. You're welcome to respond to a particular blog post, or just send me an email if you have a comment or question on anything you see there that maybe you don't quite understand or you want clarification on. Pardon me. Anyways, get in touch with me. Stay up to date on what we're posting there on the website, and hopefully all that will help you become a better boater and maybe a little bit safer out there on the water. I usually mention, and I'm going to continue to mention, that boaters 40 years of age and younger are required this year to have their boater's education card. What I'm going to add to that this go around, because we're coming towards the close of the season, so I assume that anybody that should have their card probably does, but we're also nearing the end of the year, and I wanted to announce that for 2013, ages 50 years and younger are going to be required to have their card, and then 2014, 59 and younger. So if you fall in that age group, it's not a bad course to take, and you're going to have to take it eventually anyway. This isn't something that's going to be going by the wayside anytime in the near future, so it's definitely worth getting your boater's education card, having taken the test, and just kind of get it out of the way so you don't have to worry about it in the future. One of the ways you can do that is by logging on to parks.wa.gov, which is parks.wa.gov, and then clicking on the boating programs link, which is probably about 3/4 of the way down on the side toolbar on the left-hand side. And regardless of whether you need your boater's education card or not, this is something that I would save in my bookmarks just because it's got good information on, good information on locations of pump out facilities, you know. So just keep in mind that you always want to kind of refer back to these resources. A lot of the resources that I give out, I give because they're great resources to continually use, not just a one-stop shop situation where, hey, I go and find all the information I need one time and I'm done. It's something that you always got to keep going back to. So anyway, definitely get online and utilize that resource. So I got some news coming from 3sheetsnorthwest.com. Again, that website is 3sheetsnorthwest.com. I've mentioned this website. It's another one of the ones that I keep in my bookmarks bar, and that way I know exactly where to go to find good information. It's published by several folks that have kind of put together this conglomerate, and they're all local area boaters, so very similar to me. They're just doing it on a different format. So anyway, get on to 3sheetsnorthwest.com. The information that is kind of update for anybody who knows, the Swinomish Channel is supposed to be dredged. It was supposed to start dredging in August, and it's being pushed back into mid-September, which in retrospect is probably actually a better situation for most of us that are out there boating, because to me the boating season doesn't really end till the end of, or yeah, until the end of September, roughly. And the Swinomish is quite often used, especially on days when the wind can get a little nasty, and so you can cut back in behind Anacortes and run down.
Is there a birthday or anniversary in your future? Here's an idea. A luxury yacht cruise. What's more inviting than being on a private yacht in an intimate setting with your friends and family? Imagine cruising Alaska, Puget Sound, the Gulf Islands, whales, glaciers, fishing and bears, hiking and exploring breathtaking sights. It's all yours on Viaggio Charters Luxury Vacation Cruises. Oh, and the food? Gourmet foods prepared by private chefs. Experience luxury with Viaggio Charters. See them at ViaggioCharter.com.
Honey, grab a jacket and a camera because we're going on a guided sightseeing tour with Captain Tom at Destiny Harbor Tours.
Oh, that sounds wonderful.
Destiny Harbor Tours offers cruises for parties of four or more from Gig Harbor or Tacoma. We'll see lots of sea life up close. We'll learn about local history and the ecology of Puget Sound. You know, Captain Tom has restored Navy boats are licensed by the U.S. Coast Guard. We're going on a real adventure.
I've got my jacket and camera, and I'm ready.
Find out more at DestinyHarborTours.com.
It's time to have your boat serviced so it's ready to hit the water. Now, if you own a wooden boat, Dunbar Marine is the area's specialist. Dunbar Marine has been in business 52 years, taking care of wooden boat repair, restoration, and maintenance. Roy Dunbar even encourages you to work right alongside him during repairs to really get to know your boat up close. Everything from minor to major, Dunbar Marine. See what I'm talking about at DunbarMarine.com.
And run down past LeConnor and then pop out just not too far around the corner from Oak Harbor. So anyway, definitely keep that in mind that activity will be going on. I'm not sure if it's going to affect the passage of the Swinomish or not, but keep that in mind. Just some interesting facts that I happened to read while I was on the site there is that if no further action was taken on as far as dredging the Swinomish, it would have been silted in by 2015. That area, for anybody who's traveled through there, it's usually fairly shallow, but there are quite a few boats and actually some pretty sizable ones that use that passage there. So it's really, kind of impressive how fast that thing silts in. The last dredging was done in 2008, and they were supposed to have follow-up dredging last year, but that was kind of shut down due to some funding issues. Of course, everybody's having kind of a tough time in this economy, and now they've finally got the money together to do some dredging this year anyway. So, pretty impressive that they basically need to be dredging out there every, 3 to 4 years. Otherwise, we're going to have problems. I think that the last measurement in 2010, I want to say, was the number that they had on there. They had 6.5 feet at the lower portion by Goat Island at mean lower low. So, that's pretty shallow, even for being at the low tide. So, anyway, keep that in mind because it could affect your travel. If you're planning on using the Swinomish at all during probably through the rest of the winter, starting in mid-September on, you may want to check your local notice to mariners and make sure that they don't have any closures there based on time of day or maybe for a chunk of time. So anyway, keep that in mind. Just wanted to pass that along and hopefully help people get through there without having too much of a situation being held up or anything like that. So anyway, next thing that I wanted to mention was the transit charter that I talked about a little bit last week. This is going to be the last week I really talk about it because it's going to be the last chance to book a flight and book with Viaggio Charter, which is our sister company, in order to get on the trip headed south. We still have some spots available, and so if you're interested at all, it's a great time to go. So I'm talking to pretty much anybody, but the folks that really seem to like this trip are the ones that are boaters themselves, so hopefully most of my listeners, and they want some experience on the inside passage so that they can bring their own vessel in the future. So if that sounds like it's you, definitely get in touch with us. Again, send me an email at trig@seattleyachtmanagement.com, or you can log on to our other website, which is viaggiocharter.com, and that's spelled V as in Victor, I-A-G-G-I-O, charter with no S, .com. So anyway, take a look at that. We are leaving September 3rd from Juneau and arriving into Seattle September 17th. That date could vary a little bit, but we're usually pretty close to on schedule, so shouldn't be a problem there if you need to make arrangements. If you want, you can do just a 1 week, or you can do the 2 week trip if that suits your schedule better. Some people can only do one. If you're going to do that, I highly recommend that you do like Juneau to Ketchikan. For starters, it's the one place that people, usually people leaving from Seattle, they'll make it part of the way up through BC and not get all the way to Alaska. But also, I think it's got the most interesting scenery. So when we talk about doing a trip like this, especially with clients aboard, and depending on what our clients' needs are, we typically take into account a variety of factors, but primarily having to do with schedule and what our clients are interested in. Generally speaking, when clients come to Alaska, anybody comes to Alaska for that matter, they're really interested in the scenery, and there's absolutely no reason to blame anybody for that, because it really is some of the best scenery that I've ever seen. And I've been fortunate enough to travel to some great places throughout my life, but Alaska, it's one of those places that I keep coming back to, and I always feel great when I'm up here in Alaska, even on the rainy days when it seems like, why even go outside? There's just so much to do. It's hard to stay put. So you get a nice set of rain gear or, a jacket just to keep you dry enough, and you go do whatever it is that you do. But just to give you an idea so that you kind of get a mental picture going and can help assist and make this decision for you guys to book your trip headed back south with us. I just wanted to give an idea of some of the things that we get to see and sort of a sample itinerary of places. Now, obviously, because we're going south and we have kind of a general direction to head, we can do a couple different things, but generally we're headed south. So we know that the route we're going to take a very close proximity to that route, and we know some of the things that we can see along that trip. And day one out of Juneau, for starters, if you've never been to Juneau, it's a nice town and a great place to spend an afternoon. And then day one, we head right down to Holcomb Bay, which is at the entrance to Tracy Arm and Endicott Arm. And both of those arms have glaciers at the heads of them. And we always enjoy spending time cruising up to either one of, well, any of the three glaciers that are in those two arms and enjoying some time in the ice and what that has to offer. Tracy Arm has absolutely beautiful scenery. Endicott Arm's a little bit easier for the most part to get into and get right up to the glacier. A lot of days it's a little tougher to get into the North and South Sawyer glaciers, but it is possible. So you just got to keep that in mind depending on what your comfort level is with ice and everything. As far as we're concerned, we get right in there and we're happy to bump a little bit of ice out of the way to get great views. So we typically do that. But anyway, so that's day one. And at the end of day one, it's absolutely phenomenal to be anchored in a pristine little bay with the possibility of bears cruising around the shoreline looking for their food and spending time along the shoreline. At this point, the cubs are a little bit larger and they get around pretty well and they're not as skittish. So people can get a little excited out on the foredeck and it doesn't cause a whole big problem with mom herding them off into the bushes too quick. So that's really a great time. And then, day two, you just head south and that'll bring us down into Frederick Sound, which is a great place for whale watching. It has a a set of islands called Five Finger, and that in the past has been a great place for the whales to congregate and has one of the last manned lighthouses on the Five Finger Islands there. It's called Five Finger Lighthouse, and it's really a great thing to see as well. And then we actually take a little detour over into Frederick Sound a little further to the west than we would on a normal southbound trip, just to go into one of the small bays that we like, and it's called Chapin, and it's a very, very small bay, and it makes it nice and cozy for anchoring in, gets us out of any weather that there might be, and allows us to have a great evening. There's also bear track around Chapin, so there's always the possibility of seeing bears there. Admiralty Island has brown bears, and so that's generally what you're going to see when we're there in Chapin. And there's a little bit of fishing out in front of the bay as well. So if you've got some extra time, we can take the tender and go do a little bit of fishing. And then the next day we continue our trip south. This is probably kind of one of the more fun parts of the trip as far as what we're, you know, getting into a town. And that's stopping there at Petersburg. I'm Norwegian. Petersburg is pretty much the whole population is Norwegian. So it really feels kind of like home to me. I don't know why. I've never been to Norway. I just feel like I'm at home there when we get in there, and the folks are all great. It's a small town. It's easy to walk around and spend a couple hours in and then, you know, kind of get your town fix and get back to the boat in time for dinner and just a little bit of enjoyment before hitting the rack and getting up and doing it the next day. So then the following day brings us to the Wrangell Narrows, which is what Petersburg sits at the top of. And throughout the evening, you'll be able to see the huge currents run through there. And we typically try to avoid the current. So that would be what we would, you know, we'd be trying to go with the current and get down the Narrows at a fairly good clip. It's well known for its tight quarters. I don't find it to be that tight, but it definitely has a channel that you need to stay in, and that's kind of a challenge. So again, for those of you who are looking for a little bit of navigation, time, I guess I'll say towards your resume or towards your feeling more comfortable with going into Southeast Alaska, that's a great time for you to, you know, plot your course and work, you know, hands-on with navigation through that area. And the scenery is great as well. You know, there's almost always a bald eagle or two standing on the markers, and you can run right up against the markers, and, you know, the eagles, they don't really care too much. They always see boats running through there. So, you know, some great, great shots there. And then out into Sumner Strait at the bottom, I think the way that I'd like to go this time, and you know, we don't have to, but it's the way I think I'd prefer to go, is we'll run down just to the west of Wrangell and down into a little bay called Santa Ana, and that puts us in good position to visit a bear reserve just around the corner from there, and hope to be able to see some bears during the late part of the season as they're finishing up their salmon feed, and that, you know, that's just a great way to get a little bit of hiking in and see nature at its finest. So you know, so it's a real pleasant day there. And then we spend the next day to day and a half getting down into Ketchikan from there, or maybe doing a little bit of fishing the following day. It kind of depends on the schedule and again, what people want. But, you know, there's just no shortage of things to see, and that's just the first week. So, you know, if that kind of thing excites you, it's definitely something that you'll want to check out and book up. So we look forward to hearing from anybody. Again, whether you got questions or not, we definitely want to hear from you and want to help you make your decision to come up and see some of the greatest sights that I think the world has to offer. And it's all kept up here in our little secret corner of the world in Southeast Alaska and British Columbia. So anyway, hopefully that helps you visualize what you'll get to see. and really helps you make a good decision to take this opportunity for the chance of a lifetime. So we look forward to hearing from you. Keep us in mind as you go forward here in the next few days, and let's get it set up. Anyway, whether you want to learn about the Inside Passage trip and be involved in the planning and execution of the trip, or you just want to ride along and enjoy the scenery, this is the trip of a lifetime, so don't miss out on it. Just send me an email, or if you get on our websites, our phone number is right on the website. I think it's down near the bottom still, might be up near the top too. But anyway, we're making great deals on the transit trip. All we're looking to do is just make a few bucks to help pay for fuel, and we're going to take care of everything except for transporting you up here. So if you can get yourself to Juneau or to Ketchikan, the rest is on us. You know, we'll feed you. I got a chef on board here, as I normally do, and nobody ever goes hungry. If anything, we probably get a little too pudgy on a trip like that. So anyway, like I said, we're making deals. So if you're interested in spending time in the Inside Passage, you may want to visit our websites. Again, those are viaggiocharter.com, or send me an email at trig@seattleyachtmanagement.com. And we'll get you some info. So if you're interested, let us know. The sooner the better. It really helps on booking your flights. I don't think they're going to get any less expensive than the last thing I saw, which was about $650 a person. But that was for a round trip. So a one way is going to actually save you if you're going to do the 2-week voyage with us. So anyway, just kind of keep that in mind. And if you know anybody out there that maybe is looking or would be interested in something like that, you definitely want to have them get in touch with us as well. So I'm going to give the email one more time because I think it's important, and that's trig@seattleyachtmanagement.com. And before we delve into the next topics, I think we're gonna do a quick break. So join me back here on the other side of some business in 2 minutes or so here on 1180 AM. Clear Radio.
Is there a birthday or anniversary in your future? Here's an idea. A luxury yacht cruise. What's more inviting than being on a private yacht in an intimate setting with your friends and family? Imagine cruising Alaska, Puget Sound, the Gulf Islands, whales, glaciers, fishing, and bears, hiking and exploring breathtaking sights. It's all yours on Viaggio Charter's luxury vacation cruises. Oh, and the food? Gourmet foods prepared by private chefs. Experience luxury with Viaggio Charters. See them at viaggiocharter.com.
Honey, grab a jacket and a camera because we're going on a guided sightseeing tour with Captain Tom at Destiny Harbor Tours.
Oh, that sounds wonderful.
Destiny Harbor Tours offers cruises for parties of four or more from Gig Harbor or Tacoma. We'll see lots of sea life up close. We'll learn about local history and the ecology of Puget Sound. You know, Captain Tom has restored Navy boats are licensed by the U.S. Coast Guard. We're going on a real adventure.
I've got my jacket and camera, and I'm ready.
Find out more at DestinyHarborTours.com.
It's time to have your boat serviced so it's ready to hit the water. Now, if you own a wooden boat, Dunbar Marine is the area's specialist. Dunbar Marine has been in business 52 years, taking care of wooden boat repair, restoration, and maintenance. Roy Dunbar even encourages you to work right alongside him during repairs to really get to know your boat up close. Everything from minor to major, Dunbar Marine. See what I'm talking about at DunbarMarine.com.
Welcome back. I am your host, Captain Trigg. You're listening to Boat Talk here on 1180 AM Clay Radio. Hey, we're here every Saturday at 1, and we're excited to be here. Really want to do our best to help everybody enjoy boating to the maximum, as well as doing it safely and hopefully financially responsibly. We none of us take much joy in overpaying for anything that we don't have to. Boating typically is second only to having private planes, so as far as cost goes. So we definitely have some big shoes to fill to help save everybody a few bucks. But a lot of our topics have to do with that, and today's are no exception. So real quick, our email for anybody who's just tuning in is trig@seattleyachtmanagement.com. I am Trig, and I answer emails as quickly as I can and as thoroughly as I can. So I can also be reached by phone, and you can find our contact information on our website, which is seattleyachtmanagement.com, along with some helpful tips, some of the things that are mentioned on the show today, as well as other topics that I come up with throughout the week or that are brought to my attention. So send us some emails and we'll be sure to get back to you. All right, moving right along here, we're going to talk about a little bit of maintenance. It's getting to be that time of year again. We've used our boats up a little bit and things have started, you know, breaking or wearing out. And now it's time to do what none of us are really looking forward to and show our boats a little bit of love. So, you know, I know the season's not quite done yet, but it shouldn't have to be in order for you to help your boat out so that you can continue on your season. And, you know, if you're lucky, you've made it to this far and haven't had anything major happen. But if you wait until it's a major problem, it could be the last thing you do. You know, our boats are our own little private islands when we're out there. And if those end up going south on us, then, you know, swimming is the next option. Some of us don't swim so well. Some of us don't have all of our safety equipment in order. And, you know, I'm hoping that all my listeners do. But, you know, it's what we're here for. We're trying to help everybody out. So anyway, we want to make sure that all these things are taken care of. If you're running a metallic and rubber plug system on your boat, those tend to need to be replaced more often than you would think, especially when the boats are kept in the salt water. Those are something that you either need to have readily available or replace regularly. So, you know, keep that kind of stuff in mind. So anyway, that really wasn't where I was headed with that, but what I was headed for was not waiting until you have a problem that puts you out of business. A lot of our little issues, you know, things like windshield wipers that are starting to fall apart, you know, lamps that go out, whether it's our running lights or an overhead light in the cabin, that's stuff that takes 10 to 15 minutes maybe to get taken care of. And, you know, why not take care of it so that our boat is at its prime so that when we go to use it, I can flip a switch and bam, lights are on, everybody's happy. And I think it's one of those things that we all kind of put off and go, you know, we just don't have time for that right now. You know, if I'm on my boat, I want to be using it. And that's great. I have plenty of respect for that. But you also have to show your boat a little bit of love in order for it to continue to love you. And if you don't do that, then what you're going to end up with is a very dark boat that nobody's going to be having any fun in because nothing works. So, you know, even if it's an hour, you got to fix the problem and fix it correctly. You know, if you got a bulb that's burnt out, but you can kind of flick it a couple times and make it light back up and it solves the problem temporarily, next time you flip that light on, it's not going to work so well. You know, come on, you gotta make the effort, go to your little light bulb box and get the part you need, unscrew the lens and put the bulb in. That's 15 minutes worth of time tops is what it should take. I guess that brings me to a good point. I didn't have anything prepared to speak on this, but spare parts are a big deal. And I find that there's a lot fewer people putting spare parts, or if they are putting spare parts on, they're not labeling them properly so that they're easy to find, or putting them all in the same location. It's really easy to go out and buy, you know, a half dozen bulbs that you know you're going to need in the future. And that's great. You know, that's how I do it. I go buy them and I, you know, if they come in a 6-pack or a 10-pack and that's a less expensive way than buying them piece by piece, sure, I'll grab a whole box of them because I know that I have, you know, I only have one spare for every light bulb on board, or, you know, whatever it is. And you throw those in a spot and then you go and a bulb burns out and you're like, man, I know I got a bulb around here somewhere, but I cannot figure out where the heck I put that thing. Well, that's a problem, because now what you're going to do is you're probably going to go back to the store. You're going to look at the same box of bulbs and go, oh, it's better just to buy 10 than one. So just going to buy 10. Then I know I've got them. And those are going to go into a different location. You see where we have an issue here? You're going to use the one you want and put the other 9 into storage somewhere. And that will also accompany the additional 9 that you lost the first time in mystery land of, who knows where it went. And that kind of thing can lead to a lot of overspending, and it can also lead to a situation where you don't have the parts you need when you go to get them. And bulbs are just an easy example. Same thing is true of hardware, any kind of, you know, maybe electrical component. If you've got, you know, if you have to do wiring, or if you are comfortable putting new electronic or electrical devices on your boat, and you have a set of butt connectors, and you know you went out and bought 50 the last time because they're much cheaper 50 than they are in, you know, the 5-pack per piece, you know, once you lose them, you have to go back and buy more. And where it causes a really big problem is that a bulb doesn't burn out right when you need it to burn out, when you're sitting there at the dock and there's somebody that has a bulb right next to you. No, they burn out when you're on vacation. You can't find the stinking thing. You get back home. The first couple trips to the store, you forget to buy the bulb. Finally, you remember to buy the bulb. Then it goes in your car, and then it gets lost in your car. And, you know, hopefully at some point it finally filters its way back out onto the boat. But, you know, who knows how long that is? You know, it can be very, very traumatic experience, as you can tell by my, you know, by my status as I even just talk about it. It's a traumatic experience. So, you know, I'm trying to help everybody out. If you're going to have replacement items on board, or mechanical, electrical, any kind of additional item to what you actually need at any given point, you need to keep them all in the same place. If you have electrical equipment, you know, all your cutters and crimpers and electrical boxes, butt connectors, any kind of plugs, you want to stick those in a centralized location that applies to electrical. You don't want to stick, you know, all your connectors over here in this direction, all the cutters and crimpers over here in a different area. You want to keep that all together so that when you need something that has to do with electrical, you walk straight over to the box, you pick it up, you open it up, and everything you need is right there in front of you. You know, that makes you feel really good about yourself. Bam, the problem's taken care of in 10 minutes. If you go the other route, a 10 or 15 minute repair or, you know, maintenance project can, you know, if it goes the way that I talked about, it could stretch over a couple months. You know, it's insane. So you don't want it to go that way, because nobody has a good time when that's going on. You know, I've done it too many times, so I can speak firsthand on it. And, you know, learning by my foolish mistakes is probably a lot less expensive and stressful than just listening, or, you know, than trying to do it yourself. So anyway, that was kind of a little aside to what I planned on talking about, but that hopefully will save. So if you get bulbs, make sure you label them, you know, label the package. This is for, you know, galleon cabin lights. This is, you know, or maybe right on the box, navigation lighting. And hopefully that makes it so that when you look into that little tub that has all your lights in it, you look at it and go, okay, yeah, this is the box I need, because I got a red navigation light out, and that's that. So anyway, hopefully that'll save some hassle for you in the future. Also on that subject, oh, here we go. So we'll talk about that in a second, actually. So my next point would be to use proper hardware and parts. So when you're doing your little maintenance fixes, use the proper hardware and parts. Don't use a household item when you need a marine grade item. I'm not a huge proponent in spending extra money for something that says marine that's actually no different than what you can buy for household. But there are certain differences. I will say it again. There are certain differences in some products that really dictate that you buy marine grade versus homeowner grade. And, you know, we can talk about that till we're blue in the face. There's a lot of different parts. You know, if I'm going to plumbing, you know, doing something with plumbing, a lot of household parts will work. But there's some items for, you know, instance, fasteners. You don't want to use a standard, you don't want to use nails. You don't want to use a sheetrock screw. You want to use a stainless steel fastener. So, you know, there are items that you really got to be careful with. So My next point was use stainless fasteners when needed. That, you know, that's an important aspect. So once you use all the proper parts, get your quote unquote fix or maintenance or whatever it is done, double check that work. Double check it and test it before you consider yourself to be done. Another mistake I've made in the past that I really hope that you can learn from and save yourself some hassle is I get this thing all prettied up and boy, that electrical, you know, connection is just perfect. I've got it. I got a shrink tube on it and it just looks like it came from the factory that way. Looks beautiful. I put all my tools away. I'm so proud of myself. I go to hit the key or, you know, turn on whatever I just hooked up and alas, it's not working. So you don't want to go and put all those tools away and consider yourself done when you could have more work to be done, or maybe you hooked something up improperly. So make sure you test all of your repairs before you consider yourself done and put away all your tools. So anyway, let's see here. Where are we? Yeah, we're looking pretty good. Well, I'll tell you what, we're going to take a quick break for a couple minutes, do some business, and come back and talk a little bit more on this subject. So join me here in a couple minutes on 1180 AM, Clay Radio.
Is there a birthday or anniversary in your future? Here's an idea. A luxury yacht cruise. What's more inviting than being on a private yacht in an intimate setting with your friends and family? Imagine cruising Alaska, Puget Sound, the Gulf Islands, whales, glaciers, fishing and bears, hiking and exploring breathtaking sights. It's all yours on Viaggio Charters Luxury Vacation Cruises. Oh, and the food? Gourmet foods prepared by private chefs. Experience luxury with Viaggio Charters. See them at ViaggioCharter.com.
Honey, grab a jacket and a camera because we're going on a guided sightseeing tour with Captain Tom at Destiny Harbor Tours.
Oh, that sounds wonderful.
Destiny Harbor Tours offers cruises for parties of four or more from Gig Harbor or Tacoma. We'll see lots of sea life up close. We'll learn about local history and the ecology of Puget Sound. And you know, Captain Tom has restored Navy boats are licensed by the U.S. Coast Guard. We're going on a real adventure.
I've got my jacket and camera and I'm ready.
Find out more at DestinyHarborTours.com.
It's time to have your boat serviced so it's ready to hit the water. Now, if you own a wooden boat, Dunbar Marine is the area's specialist. Dunbar Marine has been in business 52 years, taking care of wooden boat repair, restoration, and maintenance. Roy Dunbar even encourages you to work right alongside him during repairs to really get to know your boat up close. Everything from minor to major, Dunbar Marine. See what I'm talking about at DunbarMarine.com.
Welcome back to Boat Talk. I'm your host, Captain Trigg, and you're listening to Boat Talk here on 1180 AM Clay Radio. Thank you guys so much for listening. We're here every Saturday at 1, and we're just trying to make everybody's boating lives just a little bit easier, so we do what we can. Give me a shout if you need anything. My email address is trigg@seattleyachtmanagement.com. And I'm always happy to hear questions, comments, or concerns from any of the listeners out there that might have them. So check out our website as well at www.seattleyachtmanagement.com. And it's a nice little blog, and we try to have pertinent information up there as often as we can get it there. So anyway, if you have anything to go on that, you're more than welcome to send me something, and I can get that on as well. So at any rate, before we left on the break, we were talking about maintenance, and you know, part of what I talked about in my maintenance spiel was using stainless steel fasteners when needed. And I want to revisit that because I think it's a really big deal. Hardware on a boat typically is stainless steel, and the reason it's stainless steel is because it doesn't rust, or it doesn't rust as easily as your standard iron-based hardware. So I just want to give a little anecdote here of a boat that I was working on recently, and I went down to look at kind of their hardware selection because I needed a fastener. And I didn't need anything real fancy. I just needed a simple, you know, inch fastener. And for the application I was using it in, it could have been either a pan head or a standard V head screw. That's all I really needed. I was pretty shocked to only find household type stuff. Now, this was a larger yacht. It had had a captain on it in the past, and I felt like it kind of was a, we should have known better on this situation, and unfortunately it was not pretty. So I find this little baggie, and I think I scrounged up two stainless screws that had come from something else. Obviously they had been removed or you know, refastened something, and there were a couple screws left over. So I was able to make it work, but the bulk of it were sheetrock screws and, you know, sheetrock lags. I have no idea why you would use those anywhere on a boat, because there shouldn't be any sheetrock on your boat. So, you know, I can't quite figure it out. And, you know, that's really not the point, other than none of that stuff should ever be there. So if you see it, you should really get rid of it. And this is what I was talking about earlier. I was going to mention it, and then I kind of shied away because we were going to talk about it again later in the show anyway. But it really, you need to keep stainless hardware on your boat. If you find, whether it's a new boat to you, but it's a used boat, and so other people have gathered up other people have gathered up hardware over the years, or, you know, maybe it's something, a project that you worked on and you took out some fasteners and one of them wasn't a stainless screw. You can just throw away any of that stuff that is not stainless. Get rid of it, whether you can use it at your house, take it back to your house supply, or just pitch it into a garbage can. Try to get rid of that, because you don't want to inadvertently grab something and put it into your boat and then have it rust, and then rust running down the side of your boat or out of your teak flooring or, you know, whatever it is. So in addition to the stuff that is, and this is what I was going to talk about earlier, in addition to throwing away the non-stainless stuff, if you take a fastener out, and it happens often, especially, you know, a flathead or, you know, kind of a really nasty looking Phillips head screw, and you take it out, and especially with the screw guns we have these days, they will strip a screw out so fast, and stainless is a softer metal, and so it happens even faster than you'd expect. You can strip that screw head out to the point where it's no longer usable. I'm the kind of guy that takes anything that I take out, and if it isn't going to go back in, I just re-include it into my supply of hardware, because I can use the screw again. It's not ruined after I take it out of the, you know, out of the fiberglass or out of the wood. I can reuse that, and that's a perfect way to save a few bucks and have supplies for further down the road. But the problem with it is, if you don't look over that stuff, if you strip a screw out and just throw it in the same pile as the rest of the screws you're going to keep, that's going to end up in your supply. And the 10 that you had is going to turn into 9, and maybe you needed 10, and that's why you kept those 10. If you're going to put those fasteners back in, you need to know, hey, I ruined 2 of them. I got to go back down to the hardware store and get 2 more screws before this project can really be buttoned up. So, you know, just keep that stuff in mind. Throw away the bad stuff, whether it's not stainless or it's been completely destroyed beyond recognition. So let's talk about stainless. Most people know stainless is the material you use. Why is it stainless? It's stainless because with all the salt and moisture that's floating around in the air around our boats, once that gets on a non-stainless item, it starts rusting, and it starts eating that. The salt starts eating that metal, and that turns into rust, and rust then runs down the side of our gel coat or our paint and makes just the nastiest looking stains. And so, you know, you don't want that on the side of your boat. Another place that you can really tell, and, you know, maybe you've got this and you didn't know what it was from, but one place that you can really tell that you don't have stainless where it should be is under a teak deck that gets water on it. You'll have a typically it's a black kind of streak, and it'll almost be kind of triangular shaped because usually it's thick up near the screw head and then it kind of trails off. Those black streaks, and they usually come out of a plug hole because that's right over the screw head. Those indicate that you either have poor stainless or no stainless fastener in that spot. So a lot of times you can solve that by drilling the plug out, removing the fastener, putting in a new fastener, and then putting your plug back in, and then just give it a light buff with some sandpaper if you want to try to get it out. Sometimes you can't get it out, or you know it takes a little bit of time, and you can the sun will eventually bleach it out, and you give it a little bit of salt water bath, and it takes care of it. So anyway, you know, just keep your eyes open for that kind of thing. Next thing I want to talk about, because some people probably have this question, is why does stainless rust? I've got some stainless cleats on my boat, and you know, every once in a while, I'll get a little bit of a trickle of a rust stain coming out of it. And usually what that indicates is that I've got a screw that's stainless, but maybe it's not as good a grade of stainless as it should be. And so you can get a little bit of rust buildup in there, and then it kind of trickles out and then creates that stain over time. If you get that, your options are to replace it or to use something like fiberglass stain remover, typically called FSR. It's a blue gel. If you're going to use that, I would caution that you need to use that with something that's not very abrasive. Otherwise, it'll mess up your fiberglass. And also, if you use it, you need to get some sort of wax or coating back over the top of that, because in addition to taking the stain off, it's taking all of your wax or any kind of protective layer off as well. So just be real careful with that stuff. It's pretty toxic as far as that goes. So next thing is how do I know if stainless is, or if my fasteners, my hardware is stainless? Couple ways. I can usually tell just by walking up and looking at a pile of hardware and say, okay, this is stainless and this isn't, or, just looking at it. If you cannot tell, you can take a magnet, and, you know, most screwdrivers are magnetic, and this is why it's really hard to start a stainless fastener into a new hole, or if you can't quite reach it, is because your screwdriver, you know, won't magnetize to it, and so it won't hold that screw in place. So you actually have to get your hand down there in order to line it up and start it. So, you know, if you've just got a magnet on your bench or something, stainless generally shouldn't have very much magnetic property to it. So that's another way to tell. If you are in question and you're trying to sort a whole bunch of hardware, if you've got a magnet and you can just kind of run it over the top of everything, a lot of times it'll actually suck the non-stainless stuff right off the bench and leave the stainless laying there. So, you know, that's a quick way to do it if you happen to have a large magnet laying around. So anyway, so that's kind of my preaching on stainless hardware and making sure you're using the stainless hardware. Hopefully that's helped some people out. So we're going to take another quick break, come back after a couple minutes of business, and finish up the show strong here. So join me in another couple minutes here on 1180 AM Clay Radio. Welcome back to Boat Talk. I am your host, Captain Trigg, and you're listening to Boat Talk here on 1180 AM Clay Radio. I'm on here every Saturday at 1 p.m. and happy to have as many listeners as I can possibly get. So whether you just inadvertently land on me while waiting for another show that you favor to come up, or you're actually a boater that is truly listening to get some knowledge, I'm happy to have you. So stick with us. So anyway, I'll try not to bore those people that are the people trying to just hang tight. But this next topic should apply for everybody. I recommend you utilize this in your homes as well as your boats. But we are a boat talk radio show, so we are talking primarily about boats today. The next thing I want to talk about is carpet cleaning. I happen to have a very good carpet cleaner that I use regularly. Get your pens ready, because I am going to give you his website. And he's done several vessels for me that I either manage or have been in charge of. And I'm extremely happy with his work. The carpets always come out looking great. He's always got a couple extra tips for me as we, you know, as we go through the boat. He says, hey, in this spot, you might want to try this, or, you know, here's something for you to test out on your carpets and see if you like it. So that website is monarchcleaning.com, which is MONARCH cleaning.com. monarchcleaning.com. It's the guy over there, Daniel Moody, is who owns and operates the company. He is absolutely a genius when it comes to carpet cleaning. The reason I talk about this is because I see a lot of companies out there. It's unfortunately like a lot of us in the marine industry, you know, sometimes all you need is this one tool and bam, you're officially in. You know, it's like landscapers. You need a lawnmower and the ability to pull weeds and you're a landscaper. Are you a good landscaper? Not necessarily. Yet some of the best landscapers, that's all they have. So, you know, it's really tough to judge what you got a hold of. With carpet cleaning, you can usually tell if they're good, if or bad, I should say, if they're ill-equipped. Some companies don't always have appropriate equipment. And, you know, if somebody shows up with the household carpet cleaner that you can buy down at Home Depot or Fred Meyer's or anywhere, you want to just say, thank you for your time. Please, you know, go ahead and move on, lose my number, and we'll call you if we ever need you in our home. If they have, you know, if they have something mounted in their van, you're usually a lot better off. The suction, the amount of water that they remove with those vans is unbelievable. It really is impressive. And what I want to tell you about is the fact that you can have, you know, a lot of water inside of your boat, and you know, you don't really notice it until you button the thing up and then all of a sudden it's raining inside. And I think we've all had these situations where, oh man, we've got all this moisture inside. How did it get here? Well, if you've ever had your carpets cleaned in your house, you know that the windows start sweating as soon as the guy leaves, unless you can open it up, throw some fans on, and really dry the thing out. Well, it helps, obviously, if you're able to start with a drier carpet than wet. So that's a big deal. Another thing you want to watch for is untrained employees. Like I said, sometimes you can get people that just because they have a carpet cleaner and a business card, that doesn't necessarily mean that they know what they're doing. And if you go into a situation, especially a boat, you can end up really messing up some valuable things if you don't know what you're doing and don't have the proper tools. So, you know, one of the things I really like about Monarch is they spend a lot of time taking care of and making sure to get all the little spaces. And they have a pre-soaking element for all of my stains. And so if you got a stained area, they go in, they do all this pre-soak, and they really make sure to get that stuff out. And then they're taking all of that debris and all of that water back out of the carpet as opposed to leaving it. So, you know, within an hour or two with just a, you know, standard size fan, you can pretty much be walking around on your carpet again without getting your socks wet. So it really is nice to work with people like that have their stuff together and know how to take care of your equipment as well as you'd want it taken care of, and then, you know, kind of get it back to normal. So anyway, you know, just keep your eyes open for that kind of thing, because it can really come back to bite you in the rear end when all of a sudden, you know, you clean your carpet after the season, button her up, and then the next time you come back in a month, maybe to use the boat for, you know, for a holiday or something, and you've got mildew on the inside. You're going to be shaking your head and going, oh, I should have listened to Trig on this and contacted Monarch Cleaning. Again, their website, monarchcleaning.com, I'll spell it again, is MONARCH cleaning.com. Get on their website. Even if you don't have a boat carpet for them to clean or a home carpet for them to clean, they have a ton of knowledge. It's another one of those bookmark things. You want to bookmark their website, because every time you have a spill, he's got solutions on there for different types of spill. You get a chocolate stain, you get a red wine stain on your carpet, you can go right to his website, and there's different solutions for that. And it really makes it easy, and it can save you some money in the long run. And speaking of that, I think he's completely reasonable as far as boats go, and I think that's great. Now, it just dawned on me again. One of the things you really got to watch for with these guys is typically they're running their equipment out of their van. Their vans don't float generally, so when you call to make an appointment, you want to make sure that they're able to get to wherever your boat is placed. So if that's in its slip on a trailer, maybe in a yard, if the yard will let you hire somebody from the outside to come in and do some carpet cleaning while you're having some downtime, wherever that is, you really want to make sure that you schedule that and line that up with them so that, you know, if they've got 200 feet of hose, then you've got to be within 200 feet of wherever their van can get to. So really pay attention to that as well. And again, Daniel knows how to work that. If you need a place, give me a call or send me an email, trig@seattleyachtmanagement.com. We can work something out. I'm sure I can help find some temporary moorage or something for a day in order to get that taken care of. So anyway, that's about it for the show today. I'm gonna start wrapping it up here. I really want to thank everybody for listening again. I hope that our show has allowed everybody to gain some insight on some easy ways to help maintain their boat and do so while saving time, money, and maybe a little bit of hair on top of their head, so they, you know, since they're not having to pull it out so often. And so keep us in mind in the future if you ever have any needs regarding boating. We work charters, we run boats, we do management, maintenance, deliveries, you name it, we do it, as long as it has something to do with a boat, and we can help you get your things, your chores checked off your list, and get you right back into boating as quickly as possible anytime you need it. So send me that email, trig@seattleyachtmanagement.com. If I don't hear from you before then, I look forward to everybody listening next week, Saturday, right here, 1 o'clock on 1180 AM, Clay Radio. Have a great boating week.
KLAY, Lakewood, Tacoma.